and KT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are coming to you from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. Jim Williams in studio and on the phone with Pete Gregg, one of the founders of the 24/7 Prayer International Ministry. Pete, do we have you this time on the phone?
Yeah, great to be with you, Jim. I'm sorry about that earlier, but good to be talking to you now.
Oh, I'm so glad you could join us. Sounds like you've got a busy schedule going on in Albuquerque. How is your visit to the Land of Enchantment going?
I'm loving every minute of it. We were just with the chief of police, Albuquerque chief of police, had the privilege of praying with him and talking with him, and I'm just driving up to be with you now. So we're on the phone for the while.
Well, we'll have you here on the phone here for a few minutes, and then hopefully, Lord willing, we'll have you in studio with us, and you're accompanied by your friend Roger Nix. He's a pastor of Believers Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So you guys drive safely, and While you guys are coming up the road, let's talk a little bit about prayer. Pete, you have a quote on your website that talks about the basic idea is that prayer is a conversation between you and God. That's a really simple concept, but do most Christians resort to prayer kind of as the last thing instead of the first thing?
Yeah, I think that's true, isn't it? Everyone prays in a crisis. But what I'm excited about is moving prayer from just being this kind of, you know, emergency thing to actually how do I grow in a relationship with God? How can I walk with him, talk with him, listen to him through all of life? And prayer is the way we grow in that relationship, right?
Yes, absolutely. When you think about praying, I can't help but want to ask you, what have you seen God do through prayer? Have you seen miraculous things happen?
I think I have the most exciting email inbox in the world because we've been praying nonstop for 20 years in more than half the nations on earth. So the numbers of answered prayers, the numbers of miracles are incredible. There are stories that would just fry your noodles if I told you. Healings, salvations, dreams, visions, money materializing out of nowhere, just entire churches getting planted in a week. Just wonderful, wonderful answers to prayer. God is alive and he answers prayer.
Well, Pete, I know that you are also a close associate of Brian Allred. Brian, of course, kind of runs the America Praise and the New Mexico Praise Ministry, which is been mobilizing churches, and frankly, we've seen a lot of unity among Catholic believers and Protestant believers of every denomination, and everybody's coming together to pray, and they're praying 24/7.
Right.
But every time Brian talks about this, he talks about you and you having the vision to start this 24/7 prayer movement. What led you to get started in this ministry?
I was pastoring a church in the south of England, and everything was going really well outwardly, but inwardly, I just became very spiritually hungry. As a pastor, I was longing to know God better. I was longing to stop outsourcing my prayer life to other people. Mm-hmm. And so we started a prayer room just to learn how to pray. We were a church that understood prayer as the key to everything, but we were bad at it. Mm-hmm. And so God's taken us on quite a ride over the last 20 years. And as you say, you know, I think prayer is key to unity, because if we can't pray together, we can't do anything together. Mm-hmm. And it's been a joy here in New Mexico at the state capitol yesterday, meeting with pastors from many traditions today to see, different traditions, Pentecostal, Salvation Army, Catholic, Episcopalian, Methodist, nonconformist, everything, all one in Christ. So prayer is a beautiful playing field on which we can all meet one another, I believe.
Mm. I don't know how to ask this question exactly because it really has two parts. The two questions I have, is prayer simple, but is prayer also difficult?
Right.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think prayer is incredibly complicated. I think everybody has questions of the heart, questions of the mind. I think that the intellectual questions we all carry are things like, if God is all powerful, and all-knowing and all-loving. Why do we have to talk to him and ask him to do things? Won't he just do it anyway? Mm-hmm. And then the questions of the heart are that everyone's experienced disappointments and unanswered prayers, mm-hmm. and we're trying to work out why didn't God answer that prayer, and how do we keep trusting him if our hearts have been broken?
Yeah, that's amazing stuff. Well, we've got a lot more to talk with you about this afternoon. We're going to take a quick break and bring you guys here into the studio. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll have Pete Gregg and Pastor Roger Nix in studio with us. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
New Mexico is still known as the late-term abortion capital of the world. Last year, HB 51 and HB 90 were defeated because of your efforts.
Please join us again at Right to Life Committee of New Mexico as we work to save lives, protect women, protect children, and protect our doctors.
For more information on how you can again make a difference, call Right to Life Committee of New Mexico at 505-881-4563. That's 505-881-4563.
I'm Sarah Crutchfield, owner of High Desert Hospice. After 32 years in healthcare, I know how important high-quality care is for those facing end of life. Whether as a patient or a family member, it's easy to get lost in the shuffle of corporate company trying to provide hospice care. Corporate policies often prevent services patients and their families need. That's why I founded High Desert Hospice, to provide the loving care we'd give to our own family. Let our family take care of yours. HighDesertHospice.care.
The news is awash with displays of anarchy, political turmoil, and violence. People spend more time on social media today than parents do with children. Less than 50% of millennials in the United States believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What in the world is going on? Jesus prophesied about a time such as this. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the last days. Hello, men of Albuquerque. This is Dave Slade. Come join me and other men January 30th for a book study in As Is in the Days of Noah by Jeff Kinley. We will study the similarities between the ancient days of Noah and our world. The parallels are striking. The study begins January 30th, Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. at Calvary Church, 4001 Osuna Road, Northeast. We meet in the Hub, the building just west of the baptismal. That's Thursdays at 6:30 a.m. in the Hub at Calvary Church. Come join me and other men as we examine one of the most important and controversial prophecies by Jesus about the last days.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Wonders of wonders, we have Pete Gregg in studio. He is one of the founders of the 24/7 prayer movement here around the world, really.
Yeah, we're in over half the nations on Earth.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to ABQ Connect and
great
Land
to be
of
here.
Enchantment in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We want to also introduce Roger Nix, pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yes.
Wow, it's great to have both of you here. And
Thank you.
I know you were driving carefully in New Mexico. And I'm a native, so I can say this. When it snows or rains, it's like demolition derby. So we have a beautiful day today. And, you know, sometimes I get frustrated because a lot of folks have four-wheel drives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that those vehicles don't stop any faster than a two-wheel drive. They get going a lot faster because you can get traction, but stopping is a whole different thing. So, wow, sometimes our streets are a wild west adventure. So I'm glad you're here safe and sound.
We had no issues today.
So. Yeah, and we were with the chief of police.
You were with the chief of police.
And so he kind of said, he knew we were running late to get to you. He said, you're not allowed to speed. And then he offered us like an escort. But we said no to that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you took your time, and I'm glad you're here in studio. We're blessed to have you. Pete, we started talking about prayer and talked about, you know, why it's sometimes a last resort for most Christians. For example, we're on the campus of Calvary Albuquerque. A lot of great churches around town, but one of the things that Skip Heitzig emphasizes is he does expository teaching, so he goes through the text. You understand the historical grammatical background of what the authors were intending when they wrote the word. And then he offers practical application. And reading the word is really emphasized. I think every church also emphasizes prayer. But so many times we only pray when we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What do you think a healthy regimen of prayer is? What does that look like?
Well, I think, you know, it's important not just to read the Bible, but to pray the Bible. And we've got to teach people how to not just come to the Bible for information and education, but revelation. And so that's the first thing is, you know, someone said to me last night, right here in Albuquerque, you know, Pastor Pete, I find it hard to know what to say to God. And I said, well, every page of the Bible is a conversation starter, you know, even if sometimes the conversation starts with, God, help me to understand this, right?
Yes.
So rather than us having Bible teaching on one hand and prayer on the other, I see it much more as a conversation. Now, God doesn't just speak to us through the Bible, but of course the Bible is our primary means of hearing God. Mm. So, you know, I think a healthy prayer life is not just praying about big things occasionally, but learning to pray about small things continually. Mm. I sometimes tell a story about, you know, I was walking down a street near my house once and God spoke to me very clearly. And he said to me, look at that tree. So I paused in the street. I was staring at this tree thinking I'm going to have a burning bush moment. And literally nothing happened, Jim, just nothing. And people are walking past going, you know, is he having some kind of episode? And eventually I figured God had got distracted by events in the Middle East or whatever. So I said, God, I'm looking at the tree. What happens now? And I felt like God just said to me, I just thought it was a good tree. Like, why do you get so intense about everything? So I said to him, okay, God, good job on the tree. Now, here's the point. Your prayer life is at its best, not when you're praying about the big things occasionally, but when you're saying things like, you know, good tree, God. Before there was any sin or sickness or suffering in the world, Adam and Eve walked and talked with God every single day. Mm. So what do they talk to him about? They talk to him about, you know, good tree, you know, nice weather. And one day there will be no more sin or sickness or suffering in the world. So try and make sure your prayer life isn't just praying about problems, sin, sickness, suffering, but is praying, just walking through life in conversation with the God who loves you.
Yeah. Roger Nix, pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah. Roger, tell me a little bit about your ministry and how prayer fits into what you guys do in Tulsa.
Well, I started, I've been in vocational ministry all my life. First 18 years was involved in using the creative arts in evangelism. Mm. So that was really powerful. We actually ministered here on the campus at Calvary Chapel many times with the Masterpiece and Toymaker's Dream. But
I've been to Toymaker's Dream many times.
Yeah. So that was my first half of vocational ministry. But second half, the Lord called me into pastoring a local church. And I took over in 2001, Believer's Church, and it was a church in crisis and in chaos. And I had a friend of mine, a mutual friend of ours, that said, hey, we need to do 24/7 prayer. We need to create a prayer space, and let's just begin doing day and night prayer. And when your church is in crisis, there's no better advice than to just begin to pray. And so we did, and 1 week turned into two, and 2 weeks turned into three, and through 24/7 prayer and through just day and night prayer, it took our focus off our problems, which we were just actually talking about, right? Sometimes our focus can be more on our problems than it can be on the problem solver and the one who can actually walk us through. He may not always walk us through like we think he is, but he's with us. And so it began to shape our church in a way that I don't think you know we couldn't have programmed our way out of, right? So it was a really powerful beginning of my pastoral journey to begin with prayer. And so I kind of call it stumbling prayer. We pray and stumble into what God has for us. Mm-hmm. And it's most of us, you know, don't really know what we're doing. I certainly didn't know what I was doing when I stepped in. Mm-hmm. And God rescued us and created a healthy church that's thriving, that's missional. But at the heart of it is this rhythm of day and night prayer. And we don't pray, you know, 24/7 continuously now. We have rhythms of that, but we create a culture of prayer. And that's the life, that's our oxygen, right? Prayer is like breathing, and that's how much I think we have to be aware of it.
Pete Gregg is the founder of an organization called 24/7 Prayer International, and website is 24-7prayer.com. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people can go in there and you have some resources. You've written three books, Pete. You've written Dirty Glory, Go Where Your Best Prayers Take You. Red Moon Chronicles is
Red Moon Rising.
And Red Moon Rising is the is a book called, and the subtitle is Rediscover the Power of Prayer. And then you have a book called How to Pray, a simple guide for normal people. So I'm going to ask you, what's normal people?
Isn't it funny that no one thinks they're normal? Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes the people who are into prayer can be a little extreme or a little weird. And what I wanted to do after 20 years of nonstop prayer all around the world was try and write something simple for two types of people. Firstly, for new Christians. Mm-hmm. We're seeing more and more people come to know Jesus all around the world. And, you know, there's all this stuff Christians do, but prayer is one of the essentials, one of about three things you really have to do. So the people more and more are saying, okay, how do I do this friendship with God thing? How do I talk to him? How do I listen to him without kissing my brains goodbye? Mm-hmm. How do I see more miracles? How do I experience more peace? How do I get more guidance? So it's firstly for those people. And then secondly, I found more and more seasoned Christians who've been around the block a few times, some of them pastors, would come to me secretly and say, we have a guilty secret, which is we know how to do, you know, programs, but we struggle with prayer. So I wanted to write a book for those two types of people. And, it's called How to Pray, a simple guide for normal people. And it's going incredibly well. And it dovetails in with a course that we've developed called The Prayer Course. You can get it off prayercourse.org, which is free. Mm-hmm. And it goes right through the Lord's Prayer, looking at all the different types of prayer, adoration, petition, intercession, spiritual warfare, listening to God, unanswered prayer, contemplation, so on. And you get like a 15-minute video and then a Bible study around that. And we've had literally millions of people have done that course so far. Mm-hmm. So the book, each chapter of the book relates to a session of the prayer course. And what it does is it raises the sea level of prayer. It helps people understand prayer, but also do it. So it's exciting to see it taking off.
Speak to me about a person that might be listening to the show today that's on the couch. They feel like they've poured out their heart to God, and they're not hearing answers. Mm. Speak to them for me about what they need to do.
Well, the first thing I want to say is God's silence is not his absence, because Jesus has promised you, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So even if he's silent right now, it doesn't mean that he's absent. He's just present in a different way. Second thing is, I'd say this is, the Bible is more honest about disappointments in prayer than the church is. Mm. I'm a pastor. I love the church, but we've got to be honest that often we can be a little too positive. You know, it's like we feel we've got to do God's PR for him, but he's God. He doesn't need us to do that. And, you know, more than half the Psalms are laments.
Yes.
And Jesus himself had three unanswered prayers, and one of them he still lives with to this day, you know, which is his prayer that the church would be united, which sadly it isn't yet. So if Jesus can experience unanswered prayer, then I think we can be honest. So that's the next thing I say, just be honest about your disappointments and things that you're struggling with a little bit, and know that God is with you in it. And then one or two other things I'd say. One is, you know, Jesus told one parable explicitly to say, keep praying and don't give up. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we just have to keep stacking dominoes until the whole lot comes down. So persevere and hang in there. There's other stuff. The book will help with that. There's a whole chapter actually on unanswered prayer. And I actually wrote another book you didn't mention earlier, which is kind of my big seller, which is called God on Mute. Mm. And that is about unanswered prayer. And it's out of my own story of having accidentally started a prayer movement. My own wife struggling with epilepsy and a brain tumor and nearly dying multiple times. And suddenly I had to get my head around believing in prayer as I passionately do, seeing miracles as I do, but also dealing with the pain of life and disappointments and unanswered prayer and not getting cynical and holding those two things together.
And being persevering.
Persevering. You know, faith is one thing, but faithfulness is another. And the way you fill up faith is through suffering. And there's a certain bloody-mindedness about real faith. I love that thing, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, they're about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they say to Nebuchadnezzar, the God we believe in can save us from the fire. He will. That's crazy levels of faith, right? And then they go, but even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down. So you've kind of got this absolute faith, but there's a a bloody-minded defiance there of like, you know what, I got nothing but God, so I'm not backing down, even if I have to go through some hard times.
Mm. And hard times are real. I mean, those really happen.
Yeah.
Roger Nix, as a pastor,
yeah.
You know, we hear about PTSD all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking a little bit off my little list of questions for you here, but I'm thinking that there are people that have been injured. They could have been physically injured,
right.
maybe a veteran, maybe somebody in a car accident. Pete just mentioned his wife and some of the trials that she went through. I know Pastor Skip Heitzik and his wife Lenya went through cancer that she had.
Yeah.
When you have people that are hurting coming to you,
right.
and other people on your staff, and they're pouring themselves out, how does prayer refresh you? Because you have many people doing this with you, and it's got to be draining and take away emotions. How does God restore that energy and help you?
Well, I think whether the burdens that we're carrying are our own burdens or the burdens of others, the way that, you know, the only way that I've found is whenever I go to God in prayer, and I'm bringing others' burdens before the Lord. We grieve with God together, you know, learning how to bring my grief, how to bring my pain, how to bring my sorrow. If we're not careful, we can say, God, why did you do this? Why have you allowed this? And we aren't able to be with God in the middle of our pain and our suffering. Pete said earlier that his silence is not his absence. So if that's true, then we have to learn how can we experience the presence of God in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our pain. And prayer is the only way I know that allows me to, as a pastor, to journey with people in their pain and yet to be, allow God to be present in the midst of that pain, if that makes sense.
Mm.
So, prayer is the thing that anchors me to hope, you know, that allows me to believe that God, even in the midst of this, and I've been with people in the midst of some really difficult things. And if they're willing to walk with God and allow God to be with them in their pain, oftentimes what you hear them say on the other side of that pain is that I wouldn't have wished this on anyone, but I wouldn't trade what I've gone through, because of what God has become to me in the middle of this. And I've seen it happen so many times. And so, it's a bit of a paradox, right? And we get to join with Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings in a way that, prayer, I think is really where we have to come to that place of indifference, where we can say like Jesus, God, not my will, but your will be done in my life and whatever that looks like. And there's a mystery to it. So I certainly don't have all the answers to it, but
yeah.
No, we always want God to airlift us out of our problems, right? We pray for miracles, and God does do that. You know, God does do miracles. Sometimes he just rescues us. He heals us, you know, the money comes through the door, etc. So we always want God to airlift us out. But my experience is that more often he parachutes in and joins us in the midst of the mess. And that's Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Not because you've removed me from the valley of shadow of death, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so, even when we have to go through hard things, I'd rather go through hard things with God than without him. And of course we pray for miracles.
Yeah.
But sometimes it is his presence in the midst of the difficult things. And prayer really is that moment of connection with God in the midst of our struggles.
We are talking this afternoon with Pastor Pete Gregg. He is one of the founders of the 24/7 Prayer International Ministry. And Roger Nix, he is the pastor of Believers Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Great to get to know you guys this afternoon. Want to let our listeners know that if you have a question about prayer, call us this afternoon at 505-338-5790. And I've even got some Hinkle Family Fun Passes I'll give you for the first couple callers. If you'd like to talk about prayer and something going on in your own life, this is the time to do it. So give us a call when you have a couple minutes. We're going to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
What are you doing to enhance your marriage?
We want to be on the same page.
Even when that gets tough.
Family Life's Weekend to Remember.
It was one of like the best weekends ever.
We just want to soak in all this knowledge.
It was fun and practical.
The Weekend to Remember is coming to the Hyatt Regency Tamaya Resort and Spa February 21st.
Just do it because you're going to get something good out of this.
Wow, this is really making a difference.
Sign up through January 28th and save 50% per couple. Visit weekendtoremember.com.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acch4kids.org or call 898-5520. Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acch4kids.org. or call 898-5520.
Whether or not you know which unique skills and abilities God has given you, you can be certain that God has given you everything you need to accomplish His plan for your life. Campfire Girls Gifts of the Spirit is a free citywide Bible study that begins Tuesday, March 5th at Calvary Church Westside. After the teaching each week, you'll be encouraged while learning something new at a small group session. Join Sheology and find out what the Holy Spirit wants to do through you as you step out in obedience. Details online at calvarynm.church. Registration not required.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are in studio this afternoon with Pastor Roger Nix. He is the pastor of Believers Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we are also here with Pastor Pete Gregg. He's one of the founders of the 24/7 Prayer International Ministry. And they're sharing great things with us today about prayer, and we appreciate that so much. I think the concept of prayer seems like it's a simple thing. But, you know, what do you do when you don't know what to pray? Obviously, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will almost intercede for you. People that are in, you know, I have a heart for people that are hurting. And I'm sure there's people listening, and every minute they're on this station, they're hearing the word. We have Bible teachers almost all morning, and then in our program in the afternoon, we try to connect them with other ministries like yourselves who are out there, you know, just trying to encourage people and letting people know that they can depend upon Jesus and His power. Mm-hmm. Share with us what's going on around the world, Pete. What's happening with prayer around the world?
We're probably in the greatest mobilization of prayer that the world has ever seen. Mm. Let me just pause there. That wasn't hype. That statement of empirical, measurable fact. So, for example, I spoke at a prayer meeting in Indonesia, which is the fourth largest nation on earth, the largest Muslim nation on earth. There were 3 million people at that prayer meeting.
In the midst of some Islamic feeling about the Christian church that's not friendly.
Yes, although Indonesia is a pretty tolerant environment.
Oh, it is.
You know, there are different expressions of Islam.
And that's a blessing to even hear that.
Yeah. And then, you know, if we go to Nigeria, which is a very violent place right now, but, you know, I had the privilege of meeting a man called Pastor Enoch Adeboye, who heads up the Redeemed Christian Church of God. It's planting thousands of churches out of Lagos, Nigeria. Newsweek said he's in the top 50 most powerful men on earth.
Wow.
And, you know, his prayer meeting has more than 1 million people that attend all night, once a month. His church sanctuary is 1 mile squared. If you want to respond and go to the front to receive prayer, there is a bus service to take you to the front. That's how big the church is. So we got to understand, we kind of tend to think that, you know, our understanding of Christianity, maybe, you know, here in America or in my country in the UK, is it. What we are part of is very, very, very small. And the people we think are famous are not really famous. There are people out there leading vast movements of prayer. You know, the Archbishop of Canterbury, who leads the third largest denomination on earth, came to me a few years ago and said, I've got this vision. Why don't we turn cathedrals into houses of prayer, places where we actually cry out to God? Because these vast heritage sites, any of your listeners who have been to Europe, you'll have walked into cathedrals. They're stunningly beautiful, thousands of years old. But they shouldn't just be tourist destinations. They should be places of prayer at the geographical and psychological heart of every single city in Europe. So we started about 4 or 5 years ago with 5 cathedrals. They were filled on Pentecost Sunday with people praying. Mm. That has grown and grown. That initiative alone, which is called Thy Kingdom Come, is now in more than 100 nations. Every denomination coming together, praying together, come Holy Spirit, let your kingdom come. And it's a sort of a phenomenon. No one can quite believe that unity, and that people aren't coming to hear a speaker or a famous, you know, worship leader. They're just coming to pray. Some cathedrals we can't fit people in. They're spilling out. So, you know, in the UK, I don't know if your listeners know this, but the church is now growing quite impressively in the UK now. I find in America people tend to assume that it's in decline. For a number of years, we've been growing ahead of the population curve in London. That has now spilled out into every major city. The church is growing, you know, across the UK again. So we're seeing salvation. We're seeing a mass mobilization of prayer. And I just believe we live in very exciting times.
Yes. When you talk about American culture, and I know you're from the UK, Roger, you're good old American.
He's very American. He's from Tulsa, Oklahoma. The buckle.
American as you get.
Well, you know, I love America because, you know, it's just a mixture of all these flavors, sure. I'll call them. I mean, we got a lot of flavors. And we have a lot of people that are pretty salty, you know, people that are Christian. And we have a lot of people that love people in the midst of hardship, which is even more amazing. Let me give you an example about New Mexico. So I've been in New Mexico most of my life, and we have what I will call the old school Democrats, these traditional families that are extended, even living together, grandparents, great-grandparents, kids, communities that have loved one another and cared for one another. And I will, you know, categorize the majority of them as old school Democrats. And then you have Republican people in the state that have been, you know, very as a matter of fact, but very loving, very leadership. And by the way, both parties, if you will, lot of integrity, everything motivated by love, everything motivated by supporting the family, people that are dedicated in the church. Now we have a lot of Catholic Christians in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. So last year, we just started the New Mexico legislative session, which you may have been told that.
Yeah, we were part of
you were up at the walk yesterday.
Day of Life, yeah.
So what an amazing thing happening there.
Beautiful.
So we appreciate you supporting that effort. But the reason that everybody's afraid of it is there was an agenda, and I'm not going to name who put it out there, but there was a group of people that wanted to put on the law books of the state of New Mexico a statute that would say it's absolutely acceptable to terminate a baby at full term as long as it's not born. You can just chop it up and get it out of there. It's an amazing thing because the opposition will say, oh, well, that's women's health care. Oh, that's a woman's right to choose or this and that. When in fact, you know, this is a full-term baby that can live just fine. And it's cruelty. It's murder. I mean, there's just no question about it. Technology has now made it available for people to see from the time of conception how that living, embryo, that human being is living and growing inside of a woman. Mm. So there's a lot of things going on in the hearts of people, but I bring this all around to prayer because for the first time in my experience as a New Mexican, I saw the Catholic Church and all denominations of the Protestant Church come together and pray together about a year and a half ago and begin praying about this issue because they knew it was going to come before the legislature.
Right.
And guess what? They absolutely crushed the bill. No approval. Yeah. And it was such a dramatic defeat for the people that were pro-choice. But it was an amazing victory for people that were praying. And they really got to see how God was interacting in this thing. And everybody up there and everybody down here, anybody in New Mexico that's aware of the situation, we're afraid that's going to slip back into the agenda. And then other issues are out there. For example, we have legalized medical marijuana in the state of New Mexico. Well, I've talked with Christians and non-Christians about that. In my heart, it's confirmed that that is helping a lot of people. It's actually medicine, and there seems to be a lot of benefit to it. But now there's a push to make it recreational. Well, to me, I kind of look at recreational marijuana like I would look at recreational opioids. I mean, what are opioids doing in this country? They are killing people. They are drug addicting people. And in every state in this country that has legalized it, they are experiencing a larger number of DUIs, where in states where marijuana is not legal, DUIs are decreasing, New Mexico being an example. So prayer is having an amazing effect here, and I appreciate the influence that you've had on organizations like America Prays and the tools and everything that you're presenting. How did you two gentlemen become acquainted with one another?
Well, as I said, my good friend Bob Job, who was holding one of the largest youth rallies in Spain, had invited Pete to come and speak. And that was right around the time that 24/7 prayer, he was experiencing kind of this viral explosion of prayer in the UK. And so Pete has a heart for America as well. He came in 2004 to actually live here in a bit of a reprieve when Sammy, his wife, was walking through some things. So we began dreaming, talking about, you know, hosting roundtables and gatherings, what would it look like to see this happen in every nation and every country to just begin this, movement of prayer and mission and justice. And I think, you know, in response to some of your questions about these different issues, right? Mm-hmm. I love the quote by Karl Barth, who says that when we clasp our hands in prayer, it's the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world. That prayer actually does something in our hearts. Number one, it unites us together as the church, like nothing else can do, right? So that we can actually then begin to engage our culture and engage in the different aspects of society, the government and politics being one of them. And we can come at it in a spirit of humility and a spirit of grace. We were in a room yesterday with legislators who really, they all credited prayer as the thing that could bring them together and unite them together and then actually give us wisdom, actually give us strategy, actually give us discernment in how to come against, you know, the things in our culture that we feel like are not godly. So, so it's been a fun journey. We've seen God do some amazing things together, all around the globe and in communities and houses of prayer and in mission, efforts. And, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Pastors Pete Gregg and Roger Nixon studio with us this afternoon. We've got one more segment talking all about prayer this afternoon. If you'd like to call in and talk with these two gentlemen about prayer, please do. Our phone number is 505-338-5790. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
Constead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Constead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8585.
When it comes to bonding with a stepchild, their age matters.
For Family Life Blended, here's Ron Deal.
The seasons of a child's life can naturally help or hinder their openness to a stepparent and stepsiblings. Children under the age of 5, for example, tend to be very welcoming of new family members, whereas children between the ages of 10 and 15 have the most difficult time bonding with stepparents. And then there's the adult stepchild. We all know they're not looking for another parent figure in their life, but they are trying to figure out your place in the family. So here's the point. If you're a stepparent, find a relationship that works for both you and the child. Today, that is, and trust that the door will open to something more tomorrow. For Family Life Blended, I'm Ron Deal.
To find out more, visit FamilyLifeBlended.com.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit MyPowerFord.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque. I'm Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We're visiting today with Holly Slade of Dave Slade & Associates. Holly, you're the expert I go to when I've got the real estate questions I need answers to.
Thanks, Steve.
I was talking to a young man not long ago who's been in a job for 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. He's doing pretty good. And, he was talking about wanting to buy a home someday. And I said, what's keeping you from doing that? And he says, well, I don't have a down payment yet. So what would you tell a young person that's thinking about buying?
You know, there are so many first-time home buyer programs out right now, and even next home buyer programs that only require $500 down. So as long as somebody's got $500, they can get in on a conventional program, they can get in on an FHA program, and with zero down, they can get in on a VA program. So down payment right now is just really not an issue. There's so much opportunity.
And $500 in today's economy, Holly, I could almost shake that out of my car on my couch. Really, if someone is thinking about it and they've got those questions, and really, maybe it's almost a little anxiety about buying as a young person. They don't know really the path to take. They need to talk to the expert. How do they reach you?
They should give us a call. You know, 75% of young people, it is still the American dream to own a home. So we'd like to help them with that. So give us a call at 342-8100.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
Hi, this is Carrie Jobe, and here's a special word from an incredible pastor in my life, Pastor Robert Morris.
Sheep have an enemy. That's the bad news. But the good news is sheep have a shepherd. We have a shepherd. that loves us and that protects us. But one of the ways he protects us or delivers us is through his word. Psalm 107 verse 20 says that God sent his word and healed them and delivered them. I believe that God's word will change your life more than any other thing you could do. So I want to encourage you, listen to the series More Than Words.
For more worship in the Word, visit PastorRobert.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Pete Gregg, he is one of the co-founders of 24/7 International. That is a ministry you can find at 24-7prayer.com. A lot of great resources there, and I'll have Pete tell us a little bit more about that here in our last segment. Roger Nix is also, he's a pastor of Believers Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Roger, you mentioned that you had ministered here on the campus of Calvary Albuquerque with Toymaker's Dream, and I remember that show vividly. Mm-hmm. What a cool, creative thing. Hey, both of you guys, and I've known you for, what, 30 minutes here?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have fun. I can just tell. You have fun with
we
all
We do
of
have
this.
A lot of fun.
Yes, we do.
So prayer is not this grouchy pleading all the time, is it? It can be fun.
No, we actually say that the kingdom of heaven is friends praying and dreaming together and entering in. One of our other friends says that quite a bit, you know. And I find so many people in ministry, pastors especially, who will say probably more than anything else, I'm lonely and I have no friends. And you know, that's just wrong. It's just not the way it should be. And so we are family, you know, and so we have to learn how to do life and do ministry in ways that I think was at the heart of why Jesus came. He called his disciples. He said, you're my friends, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so friendship is a big value for us. A relational value of philosophy of ministry. So. Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jesus only had 3 years to save the planet, and he still had time to go to parties, on fishing trips and picnics, which means he was officially
yes.
less busy, less stressed, and more fun than most pastors.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I think the way of Jesus is about celebrating life. And, you know, you've been through hard times, Jim. I've been through hard times. Roger has. You know, my observation is this. The difficult times come to all of us in life. Right. Don't go after them. They're coming after you. But joy is not inevitable. And so we have to pursue joy. It's like a spiritual discipline to find the things that bring life and laughter and color to your life and make sure you do them, because Jesus loves it when his kids are smiling and sure. happy.
Yeah.
And that's our bit, to go and celebrate life.
Share with us a little bit, Pete, about your new book, How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People. Give us a bit about the book.
So there's this really simple framework at the heart of it, just to help ordinary people in their prayer life. You know that bit where you're sitting down, maybe in a favorite chair, or you're in the bathroom, or wherever it is, saying, I'm going to try and talk to God now. What do you actually do in that moment? And it used to be in Sunday schools all around the world that kids were taught acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I guarantee a lot of your listeners were nodding their heads at that moment. And it's crazy, because no one even uses the word supplication anymore. Even Harry Potter doesn't say supplication. So I thought, there's got to be something better than ACTS. Can we do P-R-A-Y? Mm. And it goes like this. Pause, or you'd say pause. Mm-hmm. Rejoice, ask, and then yield. And if yield is too tricky, swap it for the word yes. It works just as well. So pause. Start your prayer time by stopping. Isaiah 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Just, even if it's only for a minute, just be present to the God who's always present to you. Mm. R is rejoice. Give thanks to God. Listen to a worship track. You know, read a psalm. Just give God the glory. Then the bit we're all good at. Ask him for your needs. Mm-hmm. I believe in miracles. I believe that when you pray, miracles can happen. So, and Jesus says, ask anything in my name. Now, it's important that we work out, is it in his name, i.e., what's Jesus like? Is this in line with his will? But ask anything in my name, and it'll be done for you. And then finally, yield. This is the bit in prayer where we kind of say, you're God and I'm not. You know, Romans 12:1 says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is the bit where we go, you know what? Even if you don't answer my prayer, I'm still not backing down because you're Lord. You're in control. The world doesn't evolve around my emotions and my priorities. It's all about you. And so maybe that's where we confess sin, listen to God and his word a bit. So super simple, P-R-A-Y. And I had a mum come to me and say, I tried your P-R-A-Y thing with my six-year-old last night. I said, how did it go? She said, we had the best time of prayer we ever had. I said, how? Like, what happened? She said, well, pause was just, we cuddled up in bed a little bit and we took some deep breaths. I said, that's brilliant. Not easy with a six-year-old, right? I said, how do you do rejoice? She said, well, we just thank Jesus for stuff. And then we asked him for stuff. I said, how did you do the yield, the saying yes? She said, we just had a chat. What might Jesus be telling us to say or do tomorrow? And then we told him we'd do it. Mm. And she said it was the best prayer time we ever had. So this works, you know, you can spend a whole like weekend retreat working through pausing before God. That's the bit I'm getting the most feedback on, by the way. People find it so hard to be still in our world today.
Yeah.
Rejoicing.
Are you allowed to pause with your cell phone in your hand?
can you do that?
I think airplane mode is helpful.
There you go.
Don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I think people think that in prayer we're trying to make God show up, but it's the exact reverse. In prayer, we're trying to make ourselves show up because God's always with us, right? He doesn't go away, but we're scattered. We're strung out on dopamine hits and we're worried about this, that, and the other. Our phone's going off. And so it's us that's not present to ourselves our kids or our wives, let alone God half the time. So learn to be present to the God who's present to you. That will be life-changing in and of itself.
Nice. In our first segment, you talked about praying the word. Can you give us an example of that?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know what I said? Jesus says, ask anything in my name, it'll be done. How do you know when you're praying in line with God's will? What, you know, because what he's saying there is prayer isn't about trying to get God to say amen to what I want. Mm. Prayer is about me saying amen to what God wants. How do you know what God wants? Well, a pretty good starter is to look at the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things God has promised? And, you know, one of my favorite, I think four of the most powerful words in the Bible you can ever pray. King David sits before God after God has given this amazing promise and he says, do as you promised. Mm-hmm. Four words. So one, do you know what God has promised for you, your marriage, your kids, your street, your workplace? And then you got to pray it in. Do as you promised. I'll tell you this, if God's promised something, Satan is going to oppose it. So you better pray it in. Do as you promised. So that's one thing. And another thing is, you know, we teach this as an ancient technique of praying the Bible called the Lectio Divina. It goes back to the Ignatians. And what you do is you use all five of your senses. You think your way into the text and you use it as a conversation starter with God. And we've released a new app, actually. It's called Lectio 365, L-E-C-T-I-O, Lectio 365. We started it a few weeks ago. We've already got 35,000 daily users. It's growing really fast. And that actually gives you a scripture each day and then gives you space and guidance on how to pray it. So that's a free resource.
Wow.
You can get it for Android, you know, iPhone, whatever. Lectio 365. Go wherever you get your apps and you can use that each day for a few minutes of praying the word.
Wow. That sounds like an exciting thing. So spell that one more time.
Lectio is L-E-C-T-I-O. It's Latin. It just means read, reading.
Lectio 365.
Right. Yeah.
And you can find that on App Store.
Yeah, wherever you go, you know, whatever platform you use. Yeah.
Wow, that's a neat tool.
Yeah, it's going well.
Sounds great. What's next for you gentlemen?
Wow. Well, there's a lot going on. We're releasing a lot of these resources that are just getting sort of snapped up. The prayer movement is growing a lot, you know, all around the world. We're planting communities really fast. We love the partnership with Brian Alderid and America Press. You know, it's a real credit to Albuquerque and to New Mexico that this initiative that began here is now spreading all over the nation. We're cheering you guys on.
Well, we appreciate the prayers, let me tell you. And we really appreciate you being here.
Thanks again.
Roger Nix, pastor of Believers Church in Tulsa. Pete Gregg, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having us,
all
Jim.
Right.
What a joy.
Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. We'll see you tomorrow.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.